Like Nancy said, when I first met Nancy, I was really asking God what my purpose was and what I was going to be doing, because I really had no idea. I know I loved him, but I didn't really know what my place was, you know. And I don't know how Nancy felt, but to me it felt like when God introduced me to Nancy and the Point of Hope team, he said, I'm just going to throw you in the mix and see what happens. I'm going to put you in the hands of somebody who believes more about me and you than you believe in you, me and you. And that's what Point of Hope has been to me. They've believed about the God in me stronger than I did. And I thought I was pretty good at believing about the God in me. But God's been showing me over and over and over again, I put you in the right hands for a reason. They don't let me get depressed. They don't let me get down. They don't let me make, if I make a mistake, they're right there. Like, get up. Keep going. It's time to move. It's time to move. Sometimes I feel like I'm down and being kicked and battered around. And it's like, they just come, especially Nancy, and they'll stand over me and be like, get up. You're not going to die. Just get up. Just get up, you know, and it really drives me to continue, you know. It's like, that's a Point of Hope for me. They caused me to believe in the God in me so strong. So when Nancy gave me this topic, the sound of God's righteousness in you, when I first got it, I was like, how do you study for this topic? Like, what does the righteousness of God sound like in me, you know? So it's like, all right, well, started reading my Bible a little bit, and I was like, man, I can't tag this. I don't know what to look at. I mean, I'm not in the Bible, so I don't really know where to go with this. So I was talking to my wife a little bit about it. I'm like, man, I'm just going to go, and I guess I'll pray or write a poem or something. I'll figure this out somehow, you know. And what I didn't understand is, you know, God was going to use this topic to reconstruct my mentality, my perspective, my thought pattern, the love, my marriage, everything. And, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with Christian parents. I grew up with a strong foundation. I grew up with, you know, when I was a kid, my mom would be prophesying, you know, and that's how I got woke up a lot of times. I would wake up and she'd be warning in the spirit. And when I was younger, I didn't know what she was doing. I just know she was speaking a language I didn't understand. She was really loud and I was trying to sleep. So, I mean, my foundation was strong in the spirit, in the prophetic. That's how I grew up. I was just thrown into it. So with that, I figured, you know, I got saved when I was 8 years old. I've been serving God since I was 8 years old. And I'm like, man, okay. I think I have an idea of, you know, what being a Christian is, what believing in God is. I tell my friends about God. God's used me to bring people into the kingdom. You know, I've prayed for people. And, you know, so I'm like, I'm pretty firm, you know. And then I got this topic. And then the sound of righteousness in you, you know. Like, okay. This is the last workshop on this topic of the year for me. God has brought me to a place. He brought me to a place where I literally had to get in a fight. And the thing about spiritual warfare, like you've heard this whole week, is it's all in the mind. You know, it's all about your flesh. I didn't know that. I thought all these years that who I was, how I thought, how I perceived things, how my emotional side of me reacted to situations, that's how I was, you know. I always figured that, you know, if me and my wife get in a disagreement and I'm upset about it, then, you know, if I use scripture in that disagreement and I, you know, I went and prayed afterwards and I had to be correct because that's what the Bible said, you know. And God was showing me, you're not even close. You said you want to get to know me. You know, I'm always praying, God, I want to be like Moses was and get to see your form and spend time with you. You know, I want to go up the mountain and spend 40 days and 40 nights with you. And he's like, okay. Well, if you really, really want all that things you say you want, you're going to really have to get to know what the sound of righteousness in you really sounds like. And this time, coming to this conference, God really stepped into me. It all started for me with there's only one person in this world, literally, that can really get to me, you know? It's my wife. Everybody else, I can just not talk to, I can run home, but my wife, she's there, and I love her so much, so it's easy for her to get at me. Well, what I didn't understand is God's perspective is so much different than mine. The way he looks at an individual and the way I perceive the actions from individual are two drastically different things. So I have this concept. The Holy Spirit gave me this understanding that, first of all, I'm in the kingdom. God lives in me. So therefore, I belong to God. I am a son of God, okay? That means if anything occurs to me in my life, he allowed it. If anything doesn't occur in my life, he prevented it. I don't even know about it anyway. So I understood this concept. I thought. So the one person that can get to me, and I really, truly believe to this day that he uses her to force me to go to him. We get into a disagreement, and I like to communicate. I like to talk. If something goes wrong, I want to sit down. I want to talk it out. I can't help it. That's how I am. I got it from my mom. I like to talk it out. So me and my wife, we've had a pretty good communication. Well, we get into this argument, and to this day, I don't even know what we were arguing about. I don't even know why we were upset at each other. But we went to talk it out, and the more I talked, the more irritated she got. And I got to the place where, like, we weren't talking at all. Like, I would go home, I would try, and as soon as I opened my mouth, we'd just start arguing. So I went to work one day, and I was like, you know, I got the workshop coming up, and not feeling really good inside about myself. And I was like, God, I really don't know what to do. And I started to pray, and the words that I was praying weren't helping. I thought, you know, I was just hurt and I wanted God to mend me, but when I was praying, the words I was telling God, they didn't sound very good to me. Like, for the first time in my life, I'm like, man, this sounds like they're dirty. It felt like I was taking dirt and giving it to God, like he wanted it, you know? And I was like, man, I don't understand what's going on. So I was like, let me get in my Bible. Let me really get in my Bible. So I started flipping through my Bible and reading scripture after scripture and looking up what God says on marriage in Ephesians, and was looking, looking, looking. And the more I looked at, the more I got confused. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. I am reading my Bible. I am praying. And the more I go to my wife, the worse it's getting. I was like, God, what else am I supposed to do? You said if I pray, study the Bible, you're going to help me. And I went upstairs at work. You know, I work in this big power plant, and there's this generator and engines. I went upstairs over the balcony. I'm hitting my knees. I was like, God, I'm at the plane. I'm breaking. I'm like, I'm just broke. I'm like, God, help me, please. I'm begging Jesus, please help me, help me, help me, help me. Nothing. I'm crying like a baby, you know. Help me, help me, help me. Nothing. So I go downstairs. I go outside. It's, you know, by this time in Alaska, it's getting cold. So I go outside, and I work on a secure base where you need security clearance to do everything, and you got MPs roaming around. I go outside, and I'm just like, God, I can't. I was like, I can't, I don't know what to do. And I hear the Holy Spirit say his plan is today. He doesn't say, I'm going to come to your aid or, you know, I got your back. He says, break me. He says, break me. And when I heard it, I knew exactly what he meant. I don't know how, because he's never told me that before. So I went outside, went around the corner in this shadow, and so nobody could see me. And I was just like, God, break me, just yelling top of my lungs, break me. I was like, you know, if this is what it takes for me and my wife to get things back where they need to be, break me. Boy, if I knew what I was doing, I probably wouldn't have said that. You know, it's like he said, okay. Well, I said all that to start this workshop because all I knew is the old me and what I was doing wasn't working. It no longer wasn't enough. I'm going to heaven. It's a given. I'm in the book of life. I give my heart to God. You know, people know me, know I'm a Christian. I've done all that. They know, okay, Ben's a Christian. He loves God. You know, he'll talk to you for hours. Still didn't matter. I knew something had to happen. Something needed to change in my life. And I know what it was. Because I was maxing out my ability to be the son of God, if you will. A good husband, if you will. A good dad. I did everything fleshly possible to be that guy, and I was failing. So that's when I'm going to start my workshop. So this is the truth. This is literally the honest to God truth about what God started to work in me concerning the things of him, the things that his son really did for us and for me. And my part in everybody else's, my wife's life, my kids' life, my mom and dad's, my family, everybody I knew, this is what he was telling me. If I read kind of fast, hold your hand up and I will slow down. All right. Righteousness, the vitamin. Righteousness, the try it again. Righteousness, the secret place, the forgiver of all men, reborn and alive again, tried and refined from within, inspired, admired, the fire that life's in, unexplainable, unattainable, the breastplate, unmakeable, man's hands, incapable, fraudulent, and breakable, righteousness, inescapable, Jesus, the unshakable, his name, unforsakable, freely given, eternally, permanently, not earned by we, matter of factly, exactly, our masterpiece, a tragedy, unforgiven, in prison. My intentions are driven farther and farther. I'm hidden. How does one become forgiven? I speak. I don't hear me. My words are my enemy. My interpretation, my explanation mirrors my enemy. My enemy moves like me. From me, my enemy moves like me. A reflection of me I see. My lies come from me. I aspire the desired chemical approach to thee. Now I see the wrong in me. Now I hear the song of thee. Now I feel the blameless gaze of the Trinity. But how does one get to thee? Although alive in me, the sinner's prayer not unshared by me, but somehow I'm living without your son in control of me. And that's when he said it. I'll never regret it. Look in his eyes, he meant it when he said it. I knew you from birth, before the foundation of the earth. Without me, you're cursed like a casket in a hearse. Without me is worse. But for you, I have a surprise. Open your heart and close your eyes. Have faith and believe. You were created to achieve. So my gift is me. For now, you are free indeed. Now, that's what he told me. But he didn't explain what he's going to take me through to get to the end of this, to be free indeed. So when I said I got in a fight, this is how it all started. I was going to work. Me and my wife were in speaking terms. And I was going to work, and I pulled up in my truck. I had a couple minutes. I was sitting in my truck. And all of a sudden, in the corner of my eye, I saw myself. I saw me. This wasn't a vision. This wasn't, you know, I saw myself standing next to me. But I was dirty. It was me. I was physically fit. But I was dirty. It looked like I'd been rolling around in the mud. And I was just standing there. And I heard myself tell me. I told myself, everything's okay. You have nothing to worry about. All this stuff that's going on, it's done. It's over with. Just business as usual. And I looked around. It was me. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't a demon. It wasn't an apparition. It was me. I was talking to myself. And I was like, what's going on? I looked to the right, and I saw this light in my truck, just a small light. And I looked, and he looked back at me, didn't say anything. He sat there. And then all of a sudden, I realized what was going on. This whole time, I'd been lying to myself. This whole time, I'd been telling myself that, you know, because I was a son of God, I had the answers. Because I believed in God, and because God has used me in different parts of my life, that I knew exactly what to do, and I could say this, and you know, I could pray, and this was going to happen. God's like, no, you can't do this. This is all about me. And if you continue on where you're going, that you see, that's all it's ever going to be. You've completely maxed out your walk with me if you continue to do it yourself. I remember going to work, and I started crying because I was like, man. If a man of God, does everything he's ever been taught and fails, what's next? How do you go forward with that? What do you do? So I get home, walk in my front door, and that's when the fight started. Now, God often takes us to places and puts us in situations to cause us to make a pivotal decision. Because let's be honest about it. If we don't have to most of the time, we're going to take the easy way out. We're already going to heaven, right? So God presented me with a decision. He said, you can either do it my way or you can do it your way. You pick. There's no more middle ground here. And he took the one thing I love the most, my family. He put me and my wife in a situation that only he could control. One thing I love most about my wife is when she gets a hold of something, she crushes it, no matter what it is. If it's scripture, she'll get a hold of it, it's over. She's faster than I am about realizing the truth. But this thing that poked his head, I couldn't do anything about it. For the first time in my life, I felt helpless. I felt weak. I felt incapable. I felt scared. I felt alone. And I had nobody to help me. I know God's real. I know he's there. But I've been given from a youth, and I get it from my mom, I can see, okay? When I say I can see, I mean, I see angels, and I see demons, and I see spirits. I see those things. They're not fake. I see them, okay? So when I walk into my house, and this thing is in my house, I can see it. It's not hidden. It's right there. My wife can't see it. So I go to try to instruct her what to do, and the Holy Spirit jumps in. He's like, no. Take it. Just take this. Take this. I'm saying, this isn't fair, okay? You're not letting me talk to her about this. It's like, because you don't have any answers for her. Well, you're not letting me, if I pray to you about this, you're not doing anything. You're not praying right. He's like, remember something. If this is here and I'm in control, I let it be here. You need to figure out why. Okay, I don't know how to do that. Because to do that, I had to lay down my pride. I had to lay down everything I thought I knew. I had to lay down my own ability to succeed. And this whole time I could see, I have three angels that follow me everywhere. They were there. They were spectators. These three angels have come to bat to me so many times. I've seen them sword up. I've seen them surround me and get ready in battle positions. This time, they were watching. They weren't doing anything. They're standing up there. My house, I have a balcony up here. You walk up my stairs and overlooks the living room. They were all standing up there, I promise, like this, watching. I'm down there struggling, not doing anything. So I'd go to my house and I'm saying, God, help me, saying no. God, save me. No, I'm not. This forced me to really consider what righteousness is. See, all this time I thought just righteousness was, you know, Jesus, you know, he's the breastplate of righteousness. So once I've accepted him in my life, I got righteousness, so I'm good. I know the Father is going to look at me, he's going to look through his Son, so I'm clean, right? It's like, well, what are you asking for? You said you wanted to be like my servant Moses. You said you wanted to spend time with me. You got to have clean hands for that. You don't have clean hands right now. My biggest frustration was that my home, to me, wasn't peaceful. It's my sanctuary. I go home, I'm chilling. Got my three kids. They love me to death. My wife. But it wasn't peaceful. Even my oldest daughter pops up. She's like, Daddy, what's wrong with you and Mommy? She's like, we weren't arguing. We were just sitting. She's like, we were sitting at the dinner table. She looks at me. She looks at her mom. She's in fourth grade. She's only nine. Looks back at me. She's like, Dad, what's up? What's going on? What's this? And that's what really made me like, okay, God, okay. What am I supposed to do? This is what he told me. First off, if you want to be freed from this, and you want your wife to be freed from this, you have to let me do it. My way, my thoughts, and stay out of my way. Sounds easy, right? It's not for me. I'm the protector of that household. It's my responsibility to equip my family, protect them, and provide for them. God's saying, no, it's my responsibility. That which I give you to do, you do accordingly. If I don't give it to you, then it's none of your business to do it. Now, is it? So, me and my wife, we're going back and forth, and I'm struggling, because every time I think I have the answer, Holy Spirit jumps up, be quiet. So So I'm losing arguments. We're getting in disagreements, and I'm losing. I'm not allowed to respond. And finally, God allowed, you know, circumstances to arise that neither one of us could ignore anymore, you know? And I really had to consider, what am I going to do? Am I going to walk away? Am I going to quit on my wife, my family? Am I going to quit on myself? What am I going to do? How am I going to be able to look at my 9-year-old daughter in the face and be like, Daddy, quit? I always tell her not to quit. Don't quit. Finish. Just finish. I could never bring myself to do that. I could never bring myself to look at my 3 kids and say, Daddy's quitting. I can't. So I told my daughter, my wife, I was like, listen, I can't fix us. I can't do it. So I love you. I'm always going to love you, so I'm never going to leave you. But I'm done trying to fix this. If we just have to exist in this house, then that's what we're going to do. And that's when the Holy Spirit finally showed up. I got really, really, really low one night. I told my wife just that. I was like, I'm done. I'm done trying to fix us. I walked in my bedroom, and I had nothing. For the first time, I felt like my heart was going to stop beating, you know. And I was just done. I was like, I quit. I can't do this anymore. And my phone rang. It was Sarah Tarter. She texted me. I actually have it here. Now, the ironic thing to this is, you know, all this time I've been begging God to help me, you know. God, please help me. I need your help. Nothing. Not a word. Nothing. And then, out of nowhere, he sends in the specialist. You know, these guys are like CIA. They don't play around. They come in, they're wrecking up. They're taking names, and they're out. They're quick. They're done. I don't know how they do. That's just what they do. So I walk in my bedroom, I shut the door, my phone, ding, ding. And I'm like, just not even coherent. I'm just so, I'm not depressed. I can't even explain. It's just so heavy. And this is what she said. She said, hey, Ben, this is Sarah. Sarah's always really cheerful. So this is how I imagine her talking when she texts me. Hey, Ben, this is Sarah. I'm just minding my own business, but I felt prompted to remind you you're dealing with the Spirit. You have authority? Authority. Smiley face. Not easy, but essentially, you're not alone. We're all in the battle with you. Remember, you already have authority. Exercise it. Just as if you're lifting weights. I like to lift weights, so she knew that. She's like, do you understand? And because it was Sarah Tarter and Point to Hope just contacting me, I didn't call them. I didn't text them, email them. I didn't even tell my mom and dad how bad I was getting. But she just texted me, so I'm like, okay. So, okay, honestly, when she forgot this text, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to send her a strong text back. Like, oh, all is good. I started texting. This is me being strong, is what I said. I'm trying my best to understand the things I can't control. I feel like the more I try, the worse it's getting. But it helps to know I am not alone. Thanks so much for caring. Thanks so much for caring and praying. I know God requires more of me. I just don't feel I have the strength. And I said, yes, I understand. I will not quit. So, guess who texted me next? Nancy. Yeah. Nancy texted me next. And I know God is God, you know. But this Point of Hope team, Sarah Tarter, Nancy Haney, when Nancy Haney gets a hold of you and she says something, you do it. If she says stop crying, you stop crying. You just do it. That's just the way it works. So this is what Nancy said. She said, Ben, this is Nancy. And I was like, immediately, like, my self-pity just stopped. I was like, oh. Like, uh-oh. God's not happy with me. She's like, you do have the strength. The Lord, seriously, lives and breathes in you. And Sarah and me and the Point of Hope team, etc. More than that, think on this. Why do you think there is such a battle for your mind? I was like, my mind. I was like, my mind. I was like, I never thought about that. What is it about the mind? This whole conference I'm talking about, the battle of the mind. I was like, my mind. I was like, I don't, this is what I said. I said, I don't know. I've been asking myself that all day, but it is awesome to hear your voice, Nancy. She texted me, but I heard her literally speak when she texted me this. I didn't know why I was under such attack. I didn't understand why I couldn't fix my problems, what I thought was problems. Remember, if something is occurring in your life, God allowed it. And we're all saved, right? We're all going to heaven right now. Tornado came. Exactly. So God sent in the A-team because I'm slacking and not doing what he told me to do. From that moment, it's like they gave me something beyond myself. They gave me a viewpoint into something that I could hold that wasn't me. For the first time in my life, I was over being right. I was over having the answers. I was over myself. You know, I was like, God, you know what? I'm done, but in the right way. For the first time, I'm going to rely on you. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to do it. But I quit. I give up. And this is completely in your hands. You knew about the situation before it ever occurred. I know you love my wife and my kids because you wouldn't give them to me. You got this. You know? You got this. And the next day, my wife goes to my mom's house. Comes back. She's like, oh, this little pamphlet your mom had. I was just reading over it. I'm like, okay, cool. So every morning I was getting up and I was reading reading my scriptures because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do, is read the Bible and stuff. My wife started reading this pamphlet, and she didn't tell me what it was. She was just reading, just writing notes, crazy-like. And we got another disagreement, but this time it was like God showing off, and I'll explain. So we get a disagreement. I go in bed, and she's in the living room just writing away. I don't know what she's writing. I go in there, and I'm in the bedroom for like 20 minutes. I'm not sleeping. I'm just walking around like, I can't believe this. Blah, 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 blah. I go back out. I'm like, Bona, what's going on? This isn't right. You're supposed to be, you know, this and that. And she looked at me. And for the first time, she looked at me, and it wasn't her. The Holy Spirit showed up. And she looks at me. She put her head down. She lifted her head back up, and I was like, uh-oh. She didn't look at me in anger. I saw love. But love I'd never seen before. And it was stronger than I was. And she looked at me, and she said, honey, you're right. You're right. She's like, I'm sorry. You're right. It wasn't that she apologized. She didn't apologize to me. It wasn't that she said I was right. I recognized that voice. I've seen him before. It was the Holy Spirit. And I took a couple steps back and got over to the couch and just sat down. She went back to writing. And from that moment on, everything changed. The Holy Spirit started showing up on her behalf. And because I saw God begin to work for her, God was really saying, okay, now you see the difference between what you're doing and what I'm doing? He's like, okay, what part did you play in this? What part did you play in my daughter finding me? I went to work, and I paid the bills the other day because they were due. He's like, exactly. You didn't have nothing to do with this. He's like, but watch what I'm going to do. Every day, I work in the morning, so she'd wake me up. Hey, hon, do you want to drink some coffee and talk? We haven't been talking for like at least 2 weeks, like not consistently. She's like, hey, you wanna drink coffee before you go to work, and you know, let's read the Bible and talk. Really? Okay, let's do that. So we get our Bibles out, we start talking, and you know, she's like, hey, what do you think about this scripture? I'm looking at it, and that's a really good scripture. Yeah, you know, and God totally morphed what I thought was important and showed me, and still is showing me, that the righteousness in him isn't something that I can contain. I can't manage it. I can't tuck it away and bring it out when I want to. If I'm truly going to have the sound of righteousness in me, I have to get out of the way. It can't be my thoughts. It can't be my actions. It can't be my response to the negativity of the world. Because God is love all the time. The most powerful thing Jesus did is he loves us. He died for us. He looked back on those people that were killing him. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't have concept of what they're doing right here. My love is going to fix all this anyway. He went up to heaven to his Father and said, look, you're huge. You're so big. This is how I think about it. All the people in all the world will not ever make enough money to pay you back for what you've done. They owe you so much. Their debt is so big. They can't pay you back. But I can. Here you go. So everything we do now is free. His love is free. His care is free. His saving grace on the little parts of our life that we think he doesn't care about, it's free. So the hardest thing I struggle with, is the accepting part of it. Why didn't I accept the true righteousness of Jesus? Why was I taking Jesus' righteousness and making it dirty like me? Because I read the Bible and I pray, so I must have it all figured out. But it goes deeper than that. Because if we're going to be the called, chosen people of God, like he's called us to be, then we have to literally go off of what God says. We have to learn how to hear him in everything. God took the most precious thing he's ever given me. I'm not a fool. God gave me my family. He gave me my children. He gave me my home. He gave me my job. He took that precious thing and he changed the viewpoint of it just slightly so I knew what I could lose if I didn't give it back to him. He showed me that I wasn't strong enough or equipped to complete the task in this new place he's putting his people. The world's coming to a place of either I serve God or I don't. Where I was living in the gray area, I would have fell by the wayside like everybody else. So God took the precious jewel he gave me and said, pick. You can have me, my ways, my thoughts, my actions, or you can have what you think about me and what you think about my ways and what you think about my actions, how you interpret the Bible, how you pray to me, and I'll let you go with that. But look what it's already doing to your family. I was tearing them apart. I'm supposed to be the provider. I'm supposed to be the protector of that family. And I was the cause of their pain because I was not in line with God like I was supposed to be. Jesus' righteousness in my life is teaching me, because I'm still learning, that it's not about how far I've come. It's about where God's taking me and how he's going to get me there. Because if I would have continued to speak to my wife like I was, pour the scriptures down her throat, it would have killed her. Because all she would have heard is, and that's not God, doesn't sound like that. But because through God's guiding hand and point of hope, I allowed myself to receive that which he had for me. He's using what I considered pain to show me that is honestly the best thing he's ever done. I'm so used to running from things that hurt or disagreements that happen or circumstances that don't fit into my plan of good things or good deeds. But God said, it all comes from me. I'm going to teach you how to stand when things aren't going your way. I'm going to teach you how to stand when everything you thought you needed is not available. I'm going to teach you how to stand when you're the only one, when hell itself is at your door. I'm going to teach you how to stand because I said so, because that's what my son did. Because honestly, if we're going to have the righteousness of Jesus in us, what are we supposed to look like? Just like his son. We're supposed to be Jesus. We're supposed to be the reflection of Jesus. They got these pictures out here on the wall. If you go by them, they like switch and you can see Jesus and then you see like an angel. That's supposed to be us. People are supposed to see us. And then, wait a second, that's Jesus. That's how we're supposed to look to everybody. I wasn't looking like that. Some of the scriptures I've been really harping on, really reading, studying, and asking the Holy Spirit to, you know, really help me with, in Romans, you don't have to turn there, it's fine, unless you want to, but this really caught my eye because when I was up against a foe that I felt like had me beat, that I couldn't compete with, I couldn't compete spiritually with, and because we don't fight against flesh and blood, the spiritual battle was affecting me physically. I asked the Holy Spirit, like, show me somewhere I can go to fight with, because he's used scriptures in the past to save my life, and I needed some more. I needed that sword of the Spirit to battle with, because I was being refitted with the breastplate of righteousness. I had the shoes of peace on, finally. I got the belt of truth and integrity. I already had my helmet of salvation, and I know God's my shield. So God was saying, okay, stop defending and attack. How do I do that? It's like, well, go to Romans 8:31. First scripture the Holy Spirit gave me, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I started thinking about that, you know? And the who could be against us that this spirit, this verse was talking to me about was myself. I have to get out of my own way so God can have his way in my life, and therefore in my life, in the life of my wife, and therefore in the life of my oldest daughter, Jersey, and my son, Benjamin, love that guy, and my youngest daughter, Justice. If I get out of his way, he'll take care of the rest of them. The next one is Romans 8:33, because to me it seemed like everything was failing, so of course you get the same thoughts. You can't even be a good husband. You're not a good example for your family. You can't talk to your wife. I mean, you're not doing anything right. This is the next one he gave me. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. So God doesn't talk to me like that. Even when I'm at my worst and I felt like I've just disrespected who God is, he doesn't approach me angrily. He corrects me. He shows me what I've done wrong, where I need to improve, but he's always gentle. Until the paddling starts. But I know what I'm getting into. He always lets me pick. This is for your own good. It's going to hurt, but what do you want to do? I remember David. And the Bible says David was the greatest king. And I was like, well, okay. Okay, I'm ready, God. Spank me. It's, you know, but what else am I going to do? Do I want God or not? What do I want? You know, my dad spanked me growing up, and I turned out okay, you know. The next scripture God gave me was Romans 8:34. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. When I got this one, I kind of laughed because it says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. It's like God saying, Ben, you didn't die. Jesus died. Like, is it that bad? Really? You already know you're going to win. You know you're coming to heaven. Have you done half or been through half the battle that he's been through for you? No. Okay, well, wipe your tears. Get back up. He's up here speaking on your behalf right now. Keep on moving. Okay. For the next attack, all these things God used me to fight back. Because before he wasn't helping. He wasn't giving me anything to fight with. The next scripture gave me was, these are all Romans consecutively. I'm just reading them slow. 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? So wait a second. And God, even when I felt like you weren't responding to me, you still love me? God's saying, nothing can take away the love that I have for you. But you got to understand. You have to learn. If you want to be a part of my army and you want to save people for me, if you want to show people who my righteousness is, you need to learn. You need to understand. It's all about me. It has nothing to do with you. Okay. The next one is Romans 8:36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Everything made sense when I read that scripture. Because I felt like I was being beat and stabbed and shot and dragged through the mud and hung and everything. I was still alive, though. And God says it right there. In other words, you know, if I would have read Romans 8:36 before this all started, I would have known, bruh, this is normal. You're going to be okay. But it's funny how God didn't show it to me until after, you know, the pivotal decision was made. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay or not? And for the record, my wife didn't do anything drastic. It wasn't like she didn't cheat on me or do anything like that. It was just such turmoil. I like to communicate. I like to talk. You don't tell usually here because I'm quiet, but I like to talk, you know? And so when I couldn't talk to her, it just bothered me really bad. I know I was being kind of a baby about it, but ah. The next scripture he gave me was Romans 8:37. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. So first he tells me, there's nothing you can do to take away my love. You're going to get hit and beat and drug through the mud, but stand up anyway. Now he's saying, you're more than conquerors. I'm not taking, you're not going through the mud and the muck because I like to watch you bleed and cry and scrape, but you need to know who you are. Are you going to stay there? Or do you realize that you have nothing in common with the dirt? You have nothing in common with the muck. You have nothing in common with the mud. Is there anything there that can save you or help you? Then get up. And that's where I was living for so long, down there. The next scripture is Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was Romans 8:38 and 8:39. But the Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. So if I was in battle with a spiritual event, that was a principality. It wasn't a human. So after God turned the tables, he says, not even the spirits, nor my angels, or nothing you see or not see can stop me. He didn't say stop you, he said stop me. Nothing can stop me. Okay. After God gives, I don't know about you guys, but after God walks me through a test, and I make the right decision, because sometimes I don't. I have to go back around the mountain. You guys all heard the scenario going around the mountain. But after I finally make the right decision, okay, God, I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to trust in you. I receive the truth that you just laid on me in your word. I receive it. I'm going to believe it. I choose to believe it. The next thing that always happens to me, I get tested again. Immediately. Like, case in point. Last night, after the meeting, we had an awesome praise service, an awesome service. It was just bomb diggity. I'm like, yeah. I'm worried about what I'm going to say in the workshop. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say. God, please help me, you know, and I'm over there. And, you know, towards the end, he finally gave me, he's like, you need to sit down, you need to write this poem. I'm like, okay, so I'm sitting there trying to finish, and everybody's leaving out of here, and, you know, Lisa's here, and Alan was here. I'm by myself. Mom's like, I'm going home. I'm like, okay. Phone rings. It's my wife. Oh, God bless America. She's like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm just, you know, doing this, writing this poem. And my kids have bedtime 9 o'clock. Okay, I don't like any 9 o'clock. That means all your friends are going home. My kids bed, you know, they're in bed. That's bedtime. Period. She's like, honey, I know you're gone, but I was wondering if my girlfriends can come over and play cards. You know, it's like 9:30 or 10 o'clock, whatever. And I was like, okay, yeah, do what you're gonna do. Hung up the phone. I'm mad. I ain't gonna lie, I was mad. And like, I was like, wait a second. Wait. Okay, I can't. Nancy was talking about all night, believing. I was like, am I going to believe in the newness God gave me? Am I going to believe in the truth he's given me? Or am I going to go back like a dog to his vomit and eat up the same puddle I was just in? I was like, I can't do it. I was like, Ben, come on. I believe. So I text her back. I'm like, honey, no. What I meant was, of course, that's a great idea. I was like, you need to share the Holy Spirit with your friends. Tell them what God's done for you. You know, I'm thinking, I mean, smooth. She goes, nice recovery. I was like, yeah, I got in a fight, but I won this time. She's like, good job. Good job. I was like, moment by moment. She's like, yes. Good job. But I said all that to say, you know, God's requiring more of his people today. It's not just our perspective of righteousness that he's requiring. It's his perspective, and his perspective is flawless. We're going to get attacked. We're going to get hit. Satan's going to use anything he can. And if you guys are like me, the ones that get to me the most are the ones I love the most. My wife, my kids, my brothers, you know, those are the ones that he uses, because if you're not my family and you say something bad, I really don't care. So those are the ones he comes at me with. And God's saying, you have to love in spite of the situation, because that's how I love you. You can treat them as I treat you, or I can treat you as you treat them. How's that sound? So that's pretty much all I had on the sound of righteousness in you. But I know for a fact, because God's been working on me, that we're going to make it. We're not going to fail. We don't have the decision not to be successful. None of us do. We're going to make it. Just how long is it going to take you to realize that? Everybody in this room, God has a huge purpose for. And he's going to be the one to drive us. Like you were telling me before I came up here, Ben, you're going to be fine. Just believe, man. He's going to put the words in your mouth. True, because I had nothing about 5 minutes ago. So God really is for us. He really, really does love us. And yeah, he might take you to a situation that hurts, because if that's the case, there's something that he needs to get off of you, because there's still a lot of things he has to get off of me. But I choose to make that decision to believe in God, that no matter what he brings my way, I'm going to trust in him. And I'm going to watch him do what he does. That's my decision. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. But I also know the more I say yes to God, the easier it gets.